Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Charles Schwab Challenge, starting hour number two of the early line on a Friday morning. Kevin Walsh-Stani, right side with you right here on Sports Grid. There has to be a reason for something like this. Did somebody set some type of course record in the, you know, I mean, a great score? Harry Hall, 8-under at the end of one, but that's not the direction that we're looking at. No, no, no. It's a guy who was 19 shots worse than that. I mean, it might as well have been. I mean, let's be honest here.
I see the flag up there.
Finishing in 120 out of 120, Michael Block, 11 over. He started out the day with, of course, bogey, bogey, bogey. He ended the day with double bogey, par, double bogey. Now, you might think to yourselves, as he was four shots worse than the next closest golfer, man, are these two smiling about a struggling Michael Block performance? Well, I'm laughing because he's laughing. And he's laughing because, well, he's about to rip an all-time level I told you so here, DRS. You had seemingly warned people about the Michael Block love affair.
Yeah, DRS's radar is usually on point at times when he can sniff some things out. Now, most people, and again, sometimes I have a little bit of a cold heart, Kevin. There's no doubt about that, where I look for the bad before I look for the good. But as I'm watching some PGA Championship action, I kept saying to myself, why do I keep on seeing this guy on my TV screen? Is he going to win the tournament? No, he's not. But why is he getting a walk-off as if he was Jack Nicklaus playing his final round at St. Andrews? You know right away that turns to hate. That's nothing against the guy as a human being at all. Just what I was actually watching on the screen. But then I said to myself, and even on the radio, taking a little guff from some people, how could you do that, Donnie? What a great story it was. Then a podcast comes out, and you let him rip in front of the mic now in front of a big audience, and he basically said, like, you know what? If I could hit the ball as far as some of the better guys on tour here, I might be the best player in the world. Now, he said, ooh, that'll be interesting here. So as some people said, hey, you know what? We all love this guy over the weekend. Maybe I need to change my opinion. It's not necessarily fair because, to be honest, I'll sit up and tell you, if I could run a 4.3 in college, I probably would have been the best wide receiver in the history of the NFL. But I won a 4.3, and it was never going to happen. But now you take a look at the Charles Schwab Challenge, and it was challenging for some individuals, including Michael Block, who finished in last place here in this tournament. So I say to myself, Kevin, you know what would be fun today? I see Michael, you know, he shot in the 80s here. He's four shots back, I believe, of the last golfer. You know what I think would be a good challenge, though? I need to see this. We see, like, the golf tournament coming up. I don't know. It's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce versus Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I think, you know, an even matchup right now, Michael Block versus Tiger Woods, both that same skill level right now, I think it'd be awesome for the team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how Tiger just, you know, coming in and getting a shot is sometimes
ricochet.
How it goes. Here's what I love from the FanDuel Sportsbook. They have they're 120 golfers. Everybody but Michael Block is up right now for grabs. Everybody but Michael Block. They won't post Michael Block's odds to win. Are they worried? I would post his odds gladly. I'd make it front page news. Here's a billion to one on Michael Block to come back and win the Charles Schwab as he sits there at 11 over. That was a very, to give folks out there the timeline of it all, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone falls in love with Michael Block, except for Donnie. And then soon after, everybody goes, oh, this guy thinks he's better than Rory. I can't stand this guy. I hope he struggles. Radio audiences here on a Friday morning, SiriusXM channel 159. And now all of a sudden, I mean, I guess he's done. Like, is he done? Like, do we wait to the PGA Championship next year to hear from Michael Block again? Or are they going to keep sending him out there?
I mean, I really think there was a time on Sunday which he was actually going to go over to Brooks Koepka and take the PGA Championship trophy and hold it up himself, as we were almost close to that point here. But no, he does get to go back to the PGA Championship next year, and we will get to watch it once again. And I preface it by saying, I'm not a cold-hearted individual, but every once in a while, your boy gets the inclination that I mean, I really am here at this point. I'm just trying to be nice at this point. I don't really want this to go off the rails, but yes, I see things that are a little bit off, Kevin. I like to call them out immediately, and not to say that's a great story to watch it play out, which technically it was a great story, but come on, who was on the front lines, Kevin, of this? Your boy was.
You know what? This is, I think, to what you said. We're trying to avoid a Donnie Seymour segment.
We are.
Which would get you in a lot of trouble.
Give me some hot water.
So, sure. Should I then bring in some odds for the Charles Schwab? Scotty Scheffler is the favorite at +320.
Yeah.
Harry Hall. I can't even take him
seriously. No respect for Harry. My goodness.
Well, why do you think? I mean, your first reaction is to call him a striker for the Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, so now again, like sometimes the changing of the tides here, I'm starting to back Harry Hall because I just saw, like, I didn't think anything of Harry Hall until I saw the disrespect here on the odds board here, that a guy in Scotty Scheffler is +320. And where is he even on the, where is Scotty Scheffler even at here?
He's 3 under, so he's checking right now.
He's my man Harry Hall has got a 5-shot lead, and he's a 10-1. He's come on, let's go, Harry. Let's go, Harry. It's coming home, I guess. Can we use that?
Hold on.
Harry Hall?
Harry Hall, home? +175, leader after round two.
Let's go.
I mean, he's up three shots on everybody there. It's a big day for Harry. By the way,
let's go, Harry.
There's a tourney special out there. Any two of Scheffler, Rose, or Fowler to shoot 66 or better in round two is -230. That's four under. So the expectation today seems to be low scores.
Harry, 62,
of course. So that's not going to happen. We'll be right back with games six in the Eastern Conference Finals.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with you right here on the early line. I figure why not take a look at Celtics Heat, the Eastern Conference Finals here one last time, because it is possible that when we join you once again on the early line, that this will be series over, or on that Monday we will have a game number 7. Now, of course, I'll be with you all weekend long on Betting Above the Rim, myself and Coach James Young, 10 a.m. start time there. So do make sure that you are locked in with us over those 2 hours on both Saturday and Sunday. Donnie will agree. Donnie tunes in, has yet to miss one episode, and would never miss an episode. He's a great support system, old DRS there. But I did figure, because there's a lot we could get into, I did think before we even intro, I thought it would be appropriate, Don, if we gave people the same game parlay. Do you feel all right giving it out to people a little in advance? Are you all right with that?
Yeah, it's done. Like, I'll give you the NBA Finals same game parlays right now. Let's go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to win some money. It's Friday.
Wow, this guy's dialed in here, people. Then why not? Let's deliver it here. Little game 6, Eastern Conference Finals, same game parlay. I'm a pro's pro, man. Go ahead, DRS, make it happen.
All right, before we talk about Kevin's, parlay and what he's got going on, yesterday I said, myself, anything's possible. You know what was possible, Kevin?
Right.
Anything but a win, thanks to Al Horford here. So I'm looking to change that up today. So I'm going with tens. Perfect tens across the board. Dime pieces all over the place. Listen to this three-leg parlay I have, Kevin, that when it hits, the +131 price. Perfect tens. Why? We're going to go Martin of the Miami Heat to get 10 or more points in that game. We're going to go with White of the Celtics to get 10 or more points in that game. We're going to go with Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics to get 10 or more points. Smart, sensible, fashionable, South Beach. We're ready to go. This one should hit, Kevin, by the half. There you go. That simple.
I'm trying so hard to make it through these segments. I'm hardly making it through these shows anymore. Like, I'm so, let me do. Here, I almost Smart don't even want to bother. Yes. Yeah, like your reasoning for your bet is that it's fashionable. I don't even know what just happened.
Fashionable. Like, look, Miami's goes through your head. I mean, come on now. These guys are going to be strutting through into the locker room like Miami Vice, like you've never seen before. That's what I'm saying. The vibes are so high that we don't even need a second half for this one.
Right. Now, yesterday, as I moved 3-0 on named parlays, and I'm only doing the record thing because I care about the names. It's the only reason I'm doing the record thing. Mm-hmm. All right. When I lose, though, of course, we will banish that. But
did you lose yesterday?
Yesterday, Donnie tried to name his parlay the anything is possible, and that was a disgrace. It didn't make any sense. None of it lined up. This is how you get it done. Derek White, 2+ made threes. I mean, anything is possible. Derek White stepping into the mix there. The reality is, though, the Malcolm Brogdon injury helps a lot. Al Horford, 1+ made three. The deal with that is that Horford's coming off of a game with no makes. He was great in both games in Miami from beyond distance. You expect that to come back. The reason that this is anything is possible is we've got Jimmy Butler to make a three, which we know is not Jimmy Butler's forte, but he is shooting a bit more here. It feels like in this series and returning back home, I actually think there's a bit of juice on Jimmy Butler at 2+ made threes at +310, which is already outlisted and available for game number 6.
Yes, I like where you're going here on this, but let's remember this, Kevin. Keep it simple. Smart, sensible, and fashionable down on South Beach on Saturday night. Keep it. Come on now.
Again,
you know what?
Hold
on. I might have to call in tomorrow, or should I say V-mix in to your show and get in there and get another one going, because it's just, look, if I come in fashionable, like we look here on Friday, I sound fit. Right. Money in the bank tomorrow. Money in the bank.
No, not that slander. To mention Money in the Bank on Double or Nothing weekend, I mean, I don't love that out of you. All right, I'm going to need a little bit.
Now, why
more
wasn't
respect.
That? By the way, hold on. Why was that not your name of your same game parlay? To be honest, then.
Honestly, mainly because I wanted to take a shot at you, but I think it's a great point. The Double or Nothing parlay where I just ran back yesterday's Jalen Brown bio would have been a smooth move. Now, that would add that to the card. Hey, hold on. Can you see the deal here, Donnie? Can you see the deal?
Who is
see
he?
The deal a little bit? You know, that's Kenny, OC, and Pack. I saw. Never mind. I was about to get into a radio conversation live on the air. So, what was I going to ask you? Oh, I know what I was going to ask you.
There you go.
So, one thing: the odds to win the Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
-125 Jimmy Butler, +120 mm-hmm. Jason Tatum. I imagine that Stan Van Gundy is furious about this because he spends a lot of these games saying that Caleb Martin has a great case to be made, that he has been the Heat's MVP in this series. DRS, I know that you've missed out on such tremendous commentary, but that is a real thing that he keeps on doing. Do you see any world where anybody is in the mix here outside of Jimmy or Jason?
No, to be honest, I don't, because I would love to say, hey, if Bam has a big night and catapults them, that's not going to be the case. Jimmy Butler's the catalyst for the Miami Heat. If they win on Saturday night, it's because Jimmy Butler had a big game. Yeah. If Jason Tatum extends this to if the Celtics extend it, we know that Jason Tatum's going to probably have a big factor in that game. I don't see it really any other way around. I would like to, because there's big prices, just don't see it.
Again, if you just look kind of at the raw numbers there, right? Jason Tatum right now, 26.5 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And the next closest usually would be Jalen Brown. Jalen's averaging 9 less points, half the rebounds, nowhere near half the assists. He's not even in the mix. And then for Jimmy, he's averaging 7 more points than the next closest player. The rebounds, he's a little bit behind Bam Adebayo. The assists are way more than anybody else. We know what he brings on the defensive side of the ball. He's had much bigger games, and he's more likely to have bigger games. I actually was hoping that there would be a little bit of a discounted number on Jimmy B to win the Conference Finals MVP after that performance, because he was not good in that game number 5, but that's just not really what we're seeing here in the marketplace right now, which is a good move by the book. Early thoughts here, DRS, you don't have to commit. I guess I'll put it to you like this then. Are you surprised at the game 6 line being Boston -3?
No, I'm not, because if you look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the opening line was 2.5. Do you remember what the last time they went down to Miami was? When game number 3 was 2.5, ballooned up to 4.5. I'm not going to be surprised when this line moves even higher, because it's hard to find Miami Heat money out there. Let's just look at that avalanche comes in on the Celtics. But I do think this is one of those games for the Miami Heat, as we said with the Philadelphia 76ers, Kevin. You got to take care of business in game 6. That's going to be a lost opportunity. And what's that line going to be for game 7? 9.5 or 10 points here if they can't get it done? This feels like a circle the wagons game here for the Miami Heat. They got to win in game 6, because then you finally start taking a look at it in a 7-game series. You blowing that lead, all the pressure then turns on the Miami Heat for game number 7, because that would be an embarrassment for history.
Listen, they would. I'm not going to even remotely pretend that Miami wouldn't have a gang of pressure on them in Game 7, but the world at Boston as well would not have. If you're Boston, it is Game 7, it is your building, you were the favorites to win this series. There's just pressure, I think, in general, that would exist in that spot. Listen, call it being naive, I am surprised by this line. I know that game number 3, they slapped. Boston was, what, a 4.5-point favorite in that game? The stupidest lines you'll ever see. I mean, there's no reason to be kind about it. And then they went to Miami 1.5 in game 4. I just, if it was a pick, right, I'd be like, ah, all right, you get it. Like, do you agree with this? Like, do you think that if you were in charge, you'd be, I guess it's different because there's this avalanche apparently of sharp, smart money coming in on Boston that kind of shifts the line right now. Because if you look at those FanDuel percentages, DRS, 75% of the money's on Boston, but 61% of the bets are on Miami. So the bag men coming in on the Celtics.
Yeah, and that's why they're the favorites in this game, because you're taking a look, again, overwhelming. They should not be a favorite in this game, and I'll stick to my guns there. We'll see it play out. But also, you said the smart money's on there. Where's the fashionable money at? That's the question I want to know.
A great question, man. I mean, I tell you, when you need a pick, you need the fashionable picks, no doubt. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with you here on the grid, it's Major League Baseball time. Let's see what the fashionable selections are on the. Reds Cubs is where we begin on today's baseball board. Yesterday's slate was light, but as we know, on a Friday, there's always a lot to get into. And it starts early here with Wrigley Field delivering day baseball. But the total is wind again. This has to be wind. It's a 7 in Cubs-Reds, Donnie.
Yeah, wind aided. But one of the things that you said in the past, which still gets a chuck out of me, is like, it's okay, you can hit singles and doubles. You don't have to hit home runs here to score any runs at Wrigley. It's not as if every fly ball has to matter. They still can do some damage. Green's on the mound today here for the Cincinnati Reds. The young flamethrower hasn't worked out all that well this year in 2023, but it does have a decent xFIP, right around 4. But here's the issue he gets into. He's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin. He doesn't get right-handed batters out. 428 weighted on base percentage, ISO power number of 361 over about 70 batters over the past 30 days. But let's flip it over. Justin Steele, one of really good young major league pitcher on the mound, left-hander. His xFIP is actually a little high, Kevin, at 4.5. But take a look at his splits. They're fantastic. To lefty batters, he is a lefty pitcher, 261 weighted on base percentage, and also a ISO power number of 077. That's really good. But then again, typically, Kevin, where do you get yourself into some trouble as a lefty? Going up against right-handed bats. Not the case here. 97 batters he's faced over the past month from the right side. Check this out. A 294 weighted on base average, which is solid, and the ISO power number at 103. He's really done his job here. If I'm just looking at a battle of the two pitchers, the two young guys, I would take Steele in this environment today. Not a great-looking lineup there for the Cincinnati Reds. I trust that Cubs lineup just a little bit more, and also the pitcher on the mound. Cubs for me today.
A little bit better than minus 170 right now on the Cubbies. Again, that total being a 7 just jumps off the page, but we know how things tend to kind of roll when it goes with Wrigley Field and win. White Sox Tigers is next on the slate here. Detroit at home is a dog as Lance Lynn will get the ball here for Chicago. Total is 8.5. Are you rocking with the Sox in this game?
I mean, Wentz is on the mound here, and it might as well be Carson Wentz with the way this Wentz, the lefty, has pitched this year so far. Last 30 days, close to a 5 XFIP number, not striking anybody out. And also, left-handed pitcher gets lefties out. Yeah, we've heard that before. Against right-handed pitching, Kevin, threw 79 batters, a 417 weighted on base percentage. So look for a lot of those bats today. In the anticipated lineup today for the White Sox, only one lefty. That's Benintendi. Everybody else will be from the right side. Not a fantastic lineup, but if you're going to do damage, you better be doing it against Wentz today. Let's flip it over to the other side with Lance Lynn. How about this? A 344 XFIP number, very sensible. K percentage, close to 28%, very good. A right-handed pitcher, dominant against right-handed bats. Here's the issue that you have with Lance Lynn. Over the past 30 days, 65 batters that he's faced, a 397 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 254. But you're looking at McKinstry, Green, Maton, and Badu. Terrible numbers against right-handed pitchers. So you're going to have to factor in, do those left-handed bats wake up today for the Detroit Tigers, or is Lance Lynn going to get away with one? I actually would trust Lance Lynn a little bit more, because those batters, then it'd leave a lot to be desired for me, Kevin, here from a Tigers perspective.
Yeah, I also wonder, can you just do the old school White Sox thing where it's, oh, there's a lefty on the mound, they're going to score a million runs. Remember that? Yeah. That's remember not that, that long ago.
Auto bet.
That was just every time they saw a lefty, they would just put them into outer space. But also, just noteworthy there that Lance Lynn, because you mentioned the XFIP number is solid, but that the ERA, I mean, it's a 6.28, right? So that's where kind of those underlying statistics can go out there and make a difference. Series of the weekend here has to be Rays Dodgers. Has to be. The Dodgers, we find this team booked as a dog way more often this season than in years past. And Tampa Bay's earned that level of respect, no doubt about it here in this spot, in their home building, where they have been excellent. Not super strong, minus 118. Noah Syndergaard has the ball here for the Dodgers. Game totals 9.5.
Syndergaard hasn't been that bad, Kevin, about a 4.5 XFIP number, which you want to see that lower, but that's really a direct, you know, product of the strikeout percentage being 14% over the past 30 days. Not going to help you out, but take a look at his splits, though. He's no longer that power pitching Noah Syndergaard, more of using that crafty veteran mindset. Lefties are 305 weighted on base percentage, and the righties here at a 26 batters over the past 30 days. That's a 295 weighted on base percentage. But take a look at this. The ISO power number for the right-handed batters, that is actually at a zero. So certainly he's doing his job there, but you're going up against a legitimate lineup here in the Tampa Bay Rays. You're taking a look at those nine. You're going to have elevated power numbers here from Diaz, from Paredes, from Lowe, and also from Siri. We'll see how that plays out. Let's flip it over here to the Los Angeles Dodgers and how they match up. Now, this is going to be an interesting once again. I believe Beeks is going to be the starter in this game, and he's just going to be open maybe for an inning, maybe for an inning and a half or so, and handing it over to Chris Will. We don't have too many statistics here on Criswell overall. XFIP number here at a 6.39, which is terrible. A K percentage here of 13%, really bad. But keep in mind, only 23 batters that Criswell's faced over the past 30 days. But get this, these numbers really are off the charts. 7 lefties he's faced, 775 weighted on base percentage, and an ISO power number of 8.800. I didn't even know the number could technically get that high. Take a look at the right-handed batters here for the right-handed Criswell going up against him. A 360 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 250. Let's take a look here at this Dodgers lineup. Betts, a 253 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. Freeman, a 276 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. Then we get down to JD Martinez, 368. Even Muncy, a 180, and also Taylor, 167. Both solid numbers, followed up by Vargas, who's at 77 at-bats against right-handed pitching the last month. Take a look at him. A 235 weighted on base percentage. I got to tell you, I'm not in love with Noah Syndergaard. He'd probably give up a couple runs, but I think I might be trusting the lineup here of the Los Angeles Dodgers just a bit more than I am trusting here of the Tampa Bay Rays. Let's flip it down here and take a look at Texas and Baltimore coming up next. It's one of those ones where you probably thought at the beginning of the season, I think Texas is probably a pretty good ball club. Well, how about the Baltimore Orioles? Probably at this point going to be wasting away at the bottom of the AL East, but that certainly isn't an indicator of what's been taking place here. Baltimore has been sensational and has been a very, very good home team. But let's get into this game, because I do think Texas has an advantage here. If we take a look at Grayson Rodriguez on the mound, the young right-handed pitcher for the Orioles, he's got a 4.48 xFIP over the past 30 days, which is okay. Strikeout percentage around 25%. That's what you're looking for. But look at this is where he's getting in trouble. Ground ball percentage only 35%. So what does that mean? 65% are either going to be line drives or fly balls. That's where you can get into trouble. Take a look at his splits. They are terrible here. Grayson Rodriguez, a right-handed pitcher going up against left-handed bats, he's faced 39 of those over the past 30 days. Look at this. A weighted on-base percentage of 452 to lefties with an ISO power number of 429. If we take a look at Rodriguez from the right-hand side, once again being a right-handed pitcher, still not getting anybody out. 65 batters, a weighted on-base percentage of 393 with an ISO power number of 300. Let's flip it over to the lineup of the Texas Rangers, one of the best hitting teams in Major League Baseball, and see how they match up against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. Look at the first five guys in this lineup. It's really impressive. Marcus Semien, keep in mind, an ISO power number that we look for, at least that 170 to 175 number to the over. That means you're an above average power hitter here in Major League Baseball. Semien's at a 222. Take a look at Corey Seager at 263. Lowe, 227. You take a look at Garcia, 240, and then Jung at 254. The first five batters in that lineup, all positive here with ISO power numbers. That is sensational. Now, you're going to have a little bit of a drop-off with Hyman, Grossman, both switch hitters. They'll be batting from the left-hand side today, and then Duran at a 234. So if we're looking for an equal opportunity pitcher to touch up, it's probably going to be Rodriguez today. If we're looking at lefties in the lineup, one, two, three, four, five. Five lefties and four righties. They should be able to hit today going up against the Baltimore Orioles. If we flip it over to the other side, Gray, the right-handed pitcher, is going to be on the mound for the Texas Rangers. XFIP number for him over the past month, it is a little bit elevated at a 4.75. K rate, not what you want here. It's below 20%. But take a look at these splits here to the lefties. Again, Gray's a right-handed pitcher, a 261 weighted on base percentage with an ISO of 107. Absolutely fantastic. Take a look at the right-handed batters going up against Gray, a 260 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 143. I think I'm going to give the nod here to the Texas Rangers, even though I love the way the Baltimore Orioles have played baseball. They're a solid home team here, but the Texas Rangers, you know me, sometimes they can just take it up, certainly another level here. We take a look at St. Louis and Cleveland here quickly as we get it. Liberatore is going to be on the mound. The left-handed pitcher here for the St. Louis Cardinals. You take a look at him, he's only faced 27 batters over the last 30 days. So limited starts here to take effect. But his xFIP, how about this? A 6.01. But take a look at this. You'd usually see that to yourself and say, well, how does that correlate? He's probably getting waxed by both lefty and righty batters here with high weighted on base percentages. That's not the point here. Look at this. Four batters, which again, very limited sample size. ISO power number of zero. 23 batters from the right-hand side against him. A 111 ISO power number. So maybe he's finding that dancing between the raindrops here and just getting a little bit luckier than usual. Maybe that's the case. But let's take a look at Bieber on the opposite side. A Cy Young caliber pitcher who certainly hasn't done his job here. If we're looking at him over the past 30 days, a 4.45 xFIP number, a K rate for Bieber under 20%, but check this out. Bieber's a right-handed pitcher. Against lefties, they have a weighted on-base percentage through 69 batters at 408 with an ISO power number of 238. If we take a look at that talented St. Louis lineup, but sometimes hasn't risen to the occasion that we would like in 2023, maybe today is their day. They'll get a full nine at-bats and also elevated power numbers against right-handed pitching. That's Goldschmidt, that's Gorman, that's DeJong, and that's Edmund. So those would be the guys I would focus on here. But also, more importantly, if you're looking to really zero in, you're going to want to be a left-handed batter going up against Bieber. Those lefties would be Gorman, Donovan, Edmund, and Burleson with legitimate chance to do damage from the left-handed side in this game. Sooner or later, the St. Louis Cardinals are going to kick this into overdrive. Maybe today against Shane Bieber, they're going to do that. We got much, much more Major League Baseball on the way in the next segment, so don't go anywhere. It's the Early Line on a Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back like I never left. Dodgers, Rays, man. I mean, is that not what we're doing, DRS? I mean, what'd you keep going? What happened?
People out... The people out here were wondering. I think I got three DMs like, Kevin's off again. Like, yeah, uh-huh. Man, like, I don't even put in full shows at this point. Just bounces on Fridays. Right. Like, it's a day off. Or maybe he needed a quick nap here. You know, you never know.
Listen, I mean, a quick 20 goes a long way, as I've often said, you know. But look, I was just trying to let people know how many times the Dodgers had, it's the ninth time they've been an underdog, all right? And then I can get over it. So I guess we'll. I missed out on some tangy breakdowns, that means, though. I missed out on Rangers.
You did, by the way.
Your favorite team in baseball.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the Rangers are going to get after today on offense. Like, things are matching up very well for them to do some damage there. But I would have appreciated it if you're like, okay, Dodgers, Rays, get it going again. And we just hit the repeat button. We can just play the segment over again and get out of here. Quick, call it a quick day for the holiday weekend.
Yes. So much yes. I mean, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. So, the coming up thing, man. Like, forbid. Like, there's no world you could fill it out. Phillies Braves. Phillies Braves.
Hold on. Like, you would have thought that the way your mind works, that I would have read coming up there and froze for the final 5 seconds of the segment. You're like, I don't know what's coming up here.
No idea what we're doing. Not a clue, man. Exactly. I didn't know what was coming up.
Coming up, your guess is good as mine. We'll be back.
Right here. Next. Phillies Braves, though, once again, DRS, these teams match up. Schuster's got the ball against Walker. No surprise Atlanta's a favorite in their own building. Total here is a 9.5.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed for the Philadelphia Phillies here. And because yesterday you have Aaron Nola on the mound against a really bad pitcher you don't take advantage of, Kevin. If we take a look at eligible pitchers on the card today with a minimum of 10 innings pitched in the 2023 season, do you know the worst pitcher on the mound once again is today? It's going to be from the Atlanta Braves with Jared Schuster. So let's go over and take a look at how this checks out. Now, granted, over the past 30 days, Kevin, he's only faced 40 batters. Left-handed batters have gotten the best of him here. He actually has a decent weighted on-base percentage / ISO split from right-handed batters, but that comes into it. Why, Kevin? A ground ball percentage of only 30%. That means 70% of the balls are either line drives or balls hit in the air, which is not a good thing. Here's the problem with the Philadelphia Phillies. Number one, they should win this game, but that doesn't mean your bats are going to wake up in time. If we're looking at the Philadelphia Phillies over the past 30 days going up against left-handed pitching, it hasn't been great. Take a look at some of these weighted on-base percentage splits, which again, you're looking at that 320 or higher to be on the up and up here in Major League Baseball. 275 for Turner, 184 to Harper, 226 to Castellanos, 273 to Schwarber, 269 to Realmuto, 223 to Marsh, and 259 to Sosa. I mean, it just doesn't line up, but this is a bad pitcher you need to take advantage of. If we flip it over to the other side here for Atlanta, Taijuan Walker's on the mound. Against lefties, they have absolutely gotten after him, Kevin. Walker's a right-handed pitcher. Lefties, a 399 weighted on base percentage through 62 at-bats coupled with an ISO power number of 278. So as the takes get hotter and hotter and hotter here, we find ourselves here with another fire drill. And yes, I'm not too sure Kevin actually pulled the fire drill just so he can escape early on a Friday. But don't worry. Let's continue this Major League Baseball breakdown and see if we have some insights that we can use. As we're looking at Taijuan Walker overall, the XFIP number is at a 4.46 XFIP, as we just told you there. And again, lefties will get after him. Who's the lefties in the lineup here that you want to zero in on here for the Atlanta Braves? It's Matt Olson. Take a look at this. Over the past 30 days, facing right-handed pitching again, and Olson is a lefty, a 309 ISO power number with a weighted on-base percentage of 386. Now, there are going to be some other lefties in the lineup, which I really don't think they match up all that well. Rosario's got a 162 ISO power number from the left side. That's average, but also a weighted on-base percentage of only 295. The other lefty that looks like it's going to be due up in the lineup here is Harris. In the 9-hole, he has really struggled. One of the better young Major League Baseball players in 2022. It hasn't translated all that well into 2023. And then you have Albies batting from the left-hand side. He's been terrible. Through 78 at-bats against right-handed pitching, an 072 ISO power number, and a weighted on-base percentage of 212. So if you're asking me tonight, the Phillies bats should be able to wake up just by default against a bad pitcher. But if we're zeroing in on one guy that maybe can go yard or do some damage with some RBIs, that's Olson here out of the 2-hole tonight. Let's keep moving down the list as we go. Is he back? Oh, no, he's not back yet. See, that's Friday calamities, man. You got to love this, especially in the middle of Major League Baseball. Sometimes they just want the superstars to stick out here on the show. So I got you covered. We'll keep it moving forward here. The Mets are going to play today against the Colorado Rockies. The reason I'm bringing this game up here is it going to be an exciting one to watch? Maybe, because it's Coors. But also, how about yesterday when you take a look and say how well the Mets actually did at the plate? Can they continue that today? We'll see. Max Scherzer will be on the mound today. Now, keep in mind, Scherzer hasn't been all that great this season, but he sort of has bended back into form. An xFIP in the last 30 days, which is slightly high at a 4.64. K percentage here coming in at 23%. Also weighted on base splits against Scherzer. Not bad. 306, Kevin, to lefties. A 280 to righties. I do think the Rockies have a chance to do some damage, but here's where we're going to zero in on. Seabold is on the mound today for the Colorado Rockies, and it hasn't fared well this season or the last 30 days, Kevin. A 560 xFIP number, a K percentage of 15%. Look at these splits here. Even if the Mets lineup seems like it's been in a slumber for most of the month, a 356 weighted on base percentage of lefties and a 438 to righties. The Mets should hit today, Kevin.
The Max Scherzer splits are so jarring. Now, it's a limited sample size, admittedly, but in two starts at home this season, he's given up no earned runs. And then so far on the road, that ERA is touching nearly a six spot there. So now he goes to Coors as a minus 220 favorite. In name value, sure. In practice, the total's 11.5 for a reason. I feel like you could maybe expect the Rockies to step up and do their part some here as well. Continuing to push through this board, seeing if I can possibly go through at least one full game. Astros, A's, what do you think this means? A minus 280 road favorite. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, but it's opportunity. It's opportunity, right, Nani? I guess that's all that matters. Caprillion's on the mound. What's the story?
It looks like another 3-2 loss is on deck here, apparently, for the Athletics. Why is that? Well, Caprillion, I just told you how bad the Atlanta pitcher was on the mound. You know who's rate just above him, slightly better? Yeah, that's Caprillion here. So we certainly don't expect him to hold down the fort. But then again, Kevin, sometimes when you're looking and saying, okay, it's in Oakland, it's a pitcher's ballpark here, what lineup are you going against? Maybe the last couple of years, like, oh, man, he's got to face the Astros lineup. They're good for 6-7 runs at this point. But are they really? Kevin, if we take a look over the last 30 days here from the Houston Astros going up against right-handed pitching, it hasn't been all that great. And quite frankly, this is reminding me a lot of when we start to talk about the Tigers of 2022 and how poor they were each and every day. Look at this lineup. Now, Altuve's only had 10 at-bats here so far against right-handed pitching. ISO power number zero. How about Bregman? 111. Take a look at Tucker, 085. Abreu, 034. Pena, 124. McCormick, 040. Myers, 127. And Maldonado, right on that threshold of 170. This is a bad lineup coming in, but then again, it's the Oakland Athletics, and it's James Caprillion on the mound. How many runs do you actually need? Take a look at Brown on the mound here for the Houston Astros, a 2.95 xFIP, which is sensational over the past 30 days. A K rate close to 30% in decent splits between lefty and righty batters. Houston is going to win this game, but my goodness, I wish we had a much better lineup here for the Astros so we can get after some RBI props and maybe some team totals for the Astros. But then again, do you just go ahead and play the Astros because it's the Athletics? Maybe you do.
Maybe you do, or, you know, I mean, it's tough because moneyline parlays, like if you're betting baseball tonight, a lot of people are going to throw the Astros in, right? And I get it, but at some point, like they've lost 8 in a row. They're going to grab a win, right? They're going to grab a win somewhere along the way you would anticipate here. One team that is supposed to grab a win tonight, that'd be the Red Sox. They're throwing Sale. More so has to do with the D-backs pitcher on the other side of it. Total for this game is an 8.5.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that too? Because Chris Sale, you know, the dominant pitcher of the Chicago White Sox, coming over to the Red Sox and performing well for a while, and then seemingly cooling off. That's not the case here, Kevin. Last 30 days for Sale, check this out. A 3.47 xFIP number, K rate up to 31%, getting back to the old Chris Sale, a walk rate of under 3%, really handling his business. But look at his splits, Kevin. Left-handed pitcher to lefties, 267 weighted on base percentage. Left-handed pitcher to righties, a 214 weighted on base percentage. And you know, I love that arrow. Arizona Diamondbacks lineup with a lot of switch hitters here. There look like they're only going to be Fletcher and Carroll from the left-hand side. The rest of the players will be batting from the right-hand side. But let's flip it over to Boston. And here's where I think they have a legitimate chance to do some damage. I thought they would hit against the, I think it was what they just played, the Los Angeles Angels. They didn't come, you know, correct at the plate, to say the least. But take a look at this. Yeah. Fat is on the lounge tonight. PFAADT, every bit as good as his name, is how he's pitching on the mound here. XFIP, 6.61 over the past 30 days. K rate, under 15%. Look, Kevin, look at these splits here. Now, you want to say, okay, a lot of lefties are going to be in the lineup, which is fantastic. A 421 weighted on base percentage for Fat against left-handed batters with a 286 ISO power number. Look at the right-handed batters, 375 and a 405 ISO. Kevin, that's not against 5 or 10 batters. That's against 40 batters here. The Red Sox should wake up and really get after the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. But I thought that was going to happen a few nights ago, and it didn't. Maybe a Friday night special should be in order here.
Ah, all right. Something to keep your eye on. I also, just quickly with the sales stuff, because you mentioned, right, and that's why I know you used those last 30 days. We're still early enough into the season where some early season struggles can still inflate the numbers. You see the sale ERA, it's a 5. You're like, wow, he's having a tough year. Mm-hmm. Well, after the first outing against Baltimore, his ERA was a 21. Through 3 outings, his ERA was an 11.25. Over his last 4 starts, which is 27 and a third inning, you're checking in now at an ERA that's sub 2.5. So you're starting to see much better from Chris Sale lately, and again, obviously backed up by what Donnie is saying here. Probably the last game that we're going to have time for here would be Pirates-Mariners, which works out just fine here. Kirby's got the ball against Keller. It's total of 7. Can't blame this on, well, maybe you could blame it on the wind, but more so just looks like it's going to be some Mariner baseball here. What do you see, Donnie?
Let's have some fun. The Pittsburgh Pirates, what's the reason why they're fading here? Is it their pitching? Is it their hitting? What could it be? Well, let's play the game again, Kevin. The ISO power number game over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching. It's not letting you know, sometimes you're like, you know what? Kevin, this lineup just can't hit lefties. It's usually rare that it's like they just can't hit righties. But I'm going to give you 9 batters up here, 9 chances here. How many of these plate appearances have equated to at least a 161 or higher ISO power number?
0.
0, correct. There you go. Friday winner. So we're looking at a team that's going to send 9 guys to the plate up here that have no power chances against right-handed pitching. And again, you'd say to yourself, like, oh, maybe it's a really bad pitcher on the mound that they can take advantage of. Not Kirby. You're not taking advantage of him. Last 30 days, a 3.69 XFIP number. K rate over 20%. Doesn't walk many batters. Look at these splits. So here's the matchup that you would want to identify, right? If you're looking for maybe even a team total to the under here on the Pirates. I just told you, their ISO power numbers are catastrophic. Take a look at Kirby's ISO power numbers against lefties, a 104, tremendous, to righties, an 075. Kirby should be able to shut down that lineup tonight. But let's flip it over to Pittsburgh. Mitch Keller's on the mound. Hey, wonder how he's doing. Kevin, how about this? A 2.16 XFIP number over the past 30 days, a K rate of close to 37%. His splits with ISO power numbers to lefties, an 082 to righties. It's a 0. We're going under tonight. We're going under.
Under, under, under. Check in, get involved, get in the mix, people. That's how you do it there on a Friday. Shout out to DRS for making it happen. Fire alarm making it happen as well. Listen up on the way out. I'm obviously not going to be here for such a thing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the week right here for the early line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM, channel 159. Down your right side, Kevin Walsh, powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. to hand it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens and the rest of your Sports Grid day. Now, the Flames were so hot today. The takes were so good. the fire marshal tried to shut us down, but they can't. They can't. We keep the hot takes absolutely flowing. Today, we talked Major League Baseball. What happened on the diamond yesterday? Are the Orioles legitimate enough to make a playoff run? With the FanDuel Sportsbook, a now plus 102. Are they going to be a favorite shortly here to make the playoffs? The Baltimore Orioles? And how about the NBA Eastern Conference Finals continuing on Saturday night? An opening line at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 2.5 has now moved to 3. Where is that going to be at game time? Last time we saw a game 3 here with the Celtics as a favorite, opening as a 2.5-point favorite, that closed at 4.5. We'll see if it gets that far. And also, the Boston Celtics now in the series still down 3-2. Only a plus 110 price for them to come back. We're going to save that for just a few more moments. The NFL, even some topics today we went over with the Vegas Raiders and the New York Giants. Who would you trust more to hit their team totals? But this weekend is everything about what I love. It's going to be barbecues, cookouts, and it's going to be big-time sporting events, including Saturday night, the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Listen up. Jimmy Butler's not panicking here, so why should you panic out here if you're a Heat fan or a Heat backer in the series right now? The odds want you to start panicking here. The Miami Heat only a minus 130 favorite to move on to the NBA Finals to take on the Denver Nuggets here. The Boston Celtics at a plus 110 price. The Boston Celtics are favored to win Game 6, and you know, if we have a Game 7, the Boston Celtics will be heavy favorites in that game. But Jimmy's like, you know what, man, sit back and relax. Yeah, we lost 2 games. Still game 6 in our own building to close it all down here. And I expect a monster performance by Jimmy Butler. I'm going to get 30-plus points in that game. Chance at a double-double. You hang that plus 200 price again, FanDuel. I am certainly going to bite on Jimmy Butler. He should have a fantastic performance. But what does this mean for the Boston Celtics? Can they force a Game 7? Can they crack under the pressure in a Game 7 or a Game 6? Will they advance? Can they get to the finals? We'll know all of that by late Saturday night, and I can't wait to watch the play out. And Stevens in the morning after. Up next now.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.